Now, do you see, this
terrible
is the,
idea.
This is the difference between you and I, you poisonous little dwarf, okay? I don't want them to fail. Okay?
I want nearly everyone and everything to succeed. I would like this to fail miserably.
Season 2, episode 24 of Bad Voltage, in this slightly early show, because we're near the beginning of the year, we have
Happy New Year
to come to you slightly early. Yes, we have. What have we got for people in this show, chap?
We can do some news. I can't really sell it much more than that.
And we're going to do some predictions.
Yes.
Boom.
There it is. Nice, that's easy, it. Simple list of things.
Yeah.
Easiest intro ever.
Welcome back. We hope you had a lovely time off. You know, if you had the benefit of having time off and however you celebrate the holidays, it's good to be back.
Yes.
Glad to be back in a very small Google Hangout window with my two compadres here. So shall we? Or shall we not?
And now, Bad Voltage. I predict we're going to do some news.
Only prediction we get right.
He's nothing but consistent. That is. But we should now not do the news. Let's do the outro.
So, give us some news.
Jeremy, do you want to start with something or do you want me to?
Sure. Well, I'm guessing that we all put the Spectre / Meltdown / The World is on Fire one on the list. So do you want to get that out of the way first?
Yeah, go on. Do that. Yeah, do that.
It's a disaster.
So we are recording the show a little bit earlier than we normally did. So there's not as much news details out on this as you might anticipate, given the date we probably will end up releasing this. But two giant bugs have been released. One called Meltdown, which allows user space code to read kernel memory. And it's thought that this is only on Intel, I believe. And then Spectre, which allows user space code to access any other user space memory, including within containers, VMs, across every boundary that you thought exists. And this awesomely affects basically every meaningful CPU made since 1995.
So, yeah.
All
it's
of
not
the things.
Good, is it?
No.
Not,
so
not,
if
not
you're
good
running a desktop with an Itanium processor, congratulations to you. You are not affected.
Yeah.
Everyone else... lol.
So if you have a computer which is literally old enough to vote, then you're fine. Other than that, so, boom.
Forgive my ignorance here, fellas, but is this just the specific CPU or is this the architecture? Like, does this affect AMD chips, for example?
Right. So,
Meltdown, it looks like, is just in the predictive architecture of Intel-based stuff. Spectre, which is much worse anyway, looks to impact everything from Intel and AMD to ARM to... So basically every phone, every laptop, every server, every cloud machine, everything.
Jesus. Yeah. This may have a dotted line to a future prediction of yours, Jeremy.
I mean, not kidding. This is the end of the world in security terms, right?
Right.
There has already been some work going into... the Linux kernel and the Windows kernel to fix this, and that work will continue. They've already started to get patches out. That's good. It will cause slowdowns in some things, and that's already been demonstrated. Essentially, what happens is every time you call into the kernel, it used to keep the kernel's memory around in your process, which we now don't want to do. So every time you call into the kernel, it needs to reassemble the kernel's memory, and then when it comes back out to you again, take that away again. And there will be people who've done things like, I did this Postgres query, and it now takes 30% longer than it did before. Now, most stuff is not going to be affected that seriously, but this could have a pretty big impact on
it's already
Amazon
caused,
or something.
It's already caused quite a few outages for things that are hosted in Amazon and other cloud providers, and because they're rolling updates. And a lot of people, if you are near the limit of your instances and don't have auto scaling and stuff on, you're probably going to hit your limit and things are going to start crashing.
Because you're using more CPU time and so on. And this has got to be a big deal for them, because if nothing else, they're going to be using more CPU time than they had before, which means they're going to be serving the same amount of stuff, but with more computers, you know?
Right.
So got to be a reasonably big deal. Yeah, it's heroically massive. Like ARM and Intel have tried to downplay this a lot.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're at the point where every major browser apart from Safari has blocked the high performance timer, because you could probably execute this kind of thing from JavaScript.
Right.
Which is terrifying.
You know, the ARM people are going, oh, no, but it's not a problem because it has to be code that runs on your computer. But that code that runs on your computer could be in a browser.
Yeah.
Because all you need to do is push it down a certain instruction path and have a high-performance timer. So Firefox and Chrome and Edge have all disabled performance.now, which is the high-performance timer, and they've disabled shared array buffers because you can batter them into being a high-performance timer until this problem is resolved.
I love the description of the names. It's, excuse me, why is it called Meltdown? The bug basically melts security boundaries which are normally enforced by the hardware. Why is it called Spectre? The name is based on the root cause, which is speculative execution. As it's not easy to fix, it will haunt us for quite some time.
Damn.
So, Jesus. Yeah, Happy New Year, everyone. Yeah.
I'm waiting for the movie adaptation of these two issues.
We are talking about something where Jack could be explaining to his kids why this computer they've got is still vulnerable to this problem.
Right? That is...
Think about it, right? There are computers which are vulnerable to this, which came out before my daughter was born, and she's going to university in September.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, your desktop computer being one of them.
Yeah. And all of your computers as well.
So there's one... I know we went a little long on the predictions, that I don't want to spend the entire time on this brutal, brutal news, because I'm sure it will be discussed to death for probably years to come. But the one interesting thing here, I don't know if you guys saw this. Google reported this sometime in June to Intel specifically as part of Project Zero. Other people seem to have known about it for roughly as long. The CEO of Intel sold every stock he was able to.
Oh, I saw this.
And executed every option he was able to. Months later.
Yeah.
So
and then claimed that it was all complete coincidence.
Yeah.
And so, ask yourself, will this A, not affect anything, or B, put him in jail for 100 years?
Would it really put him in jail?
I would guess possibly.
I don't know enough about it.
I'm not being facetious, I'm just asking. He sold every single stock that he had. So he was mandated by his employment contract to maintain 250,000 shares. He had a little over 500,000 shares and I think like 600,000 options. He executed to the share every share except for 250 and every option.
Yeah.
That seems wildly unlike something a CEO would normally do. So it at the time triggered a lot of speculation as to why would he do this, because it is so aberrant, and now you know why.
Yeah, now you know why. Exactly.
Well, we don't know, to be fair. There's no direct evidence.
So here is the thing.
I'm not saying he didn't or he did. I'm just saying we don't absolutely know these.
No. We don't absolutely know. It would be interesting to see whether actually it turns out that he did own. If so, whether there is any punishment for that.
I mean, and to be clear, CEOs and many C-level execs, and even a little bit below C-level execs, are required to set up plans to sell stock ahead of time, because they obviously do have insider information as part of their normal job and should have insider information. So they'll say every quarter I'm going to sell X amount. It's very normal. It has a plan name and everything. Totally par for the course. What's interesting here is he put this plan in place after he knew, not before, and the exercise was so big. So it's not like he set up a quarterly plan to divest, because that's just good financial planning, right? You want to divest, you don't want to be, you don't want to have all your eggs in one basket, as they say. But to sell it all in one go is, like I said, aberrant.
A bit suspicious.
Yes.
Well, exactly. So on the subject of doing things wrong for your company and being punished, you remember the VW thing?
Yes. The emissions lie-in.
The engineer who did a bunch of the implementation got found guilty of having cheated people and went to prison for 40 months. So it turns out now, you know, not the person who made the decision higher up. It turns out now if you're given an order to build something in your company and that turns out to be a wrong thing to do, you can be personally liable for that.
So there's two things I don't like about the article you linked to here, and I'm guessing we'll put it in the show notes. One is from August. So it's very old news. Two, it
this
does
is more
not
when I
say,
found out about it rather than anything else.
It does not say what the person actually did or what their role was. So it just says the federal prosecutor said that he was quote unquote a pivotal figure in designing the system.
So
if it was his idea, maybe he should be culpable. If he was just told to do something, this seems odd to me. But I don't know that there's enough detail in the article for me to make any kind of educated.
This is the thing, and it's hard to find out. And I looked into it a bit, and it does seem hard to find out. And I may be, I'm exaggerating slightly.
You may be, oh, come on, dude. Like, you can't just say, well, the guy went to prison and the guy above him didn't. You completely made that sound.
Yeah,
like,
and that's absolutely what I believe happened.
I like how in the article it also says he is still employed by Volkswagen, but no longer works in engineering.
Not as an engineer, exactly. I find it extremely difficult to believe that this guy in the middle just decided independently to cheat on emission standards forever. Right?
But what I'm
saying he's also
is we
listed
don't know.
As an exec, though, so I don't know what his position was either.
Well, we don't know. It's not fair to just assume that the guy is innocent and that somebody else is at fault when we just don't have that information on either side available. Right?
I would concur.
They quote, I mean, obviously his lawyers will say this to some extent, but as that he blindly executed a misguided loyalty to his employer. Now, the prosecution said that he was a pivotal figure in designing the systems, as Jeremy says. But being a pivotal figure does not mean you just independently decide to make policy on this kind of thing.
Well, I think we'd all probably agree.
And what concerns
that
me is that the prosecution
if you made the decision.
The reason I brought this up is because the prosecution said a prison term would send a powerful deterrent message to the rest of the industry. But the rest of the industry are not who you're signaling with this. You're signaling the engineers who work for the rest of the industry.
well, the thing
you're not
is,
signaling
is,
decision makers with this because the decision maker didn't go to prison.
I think we'd all agree that whoever makes the decision to break the rules like that should be held accountable and they should serve prison time, right?
Yeah.
There's no question about that. The question then, of course, is those people who were in service of that order,
yes,
right? Like, what happens to them? I can see both sides of this. On one hand, one argument is, well, that person just went to work and they were just doing their job and they were instructed to, and if they went against that, they'd probably lose their job. But on the other hand, you could say, well, you know, if your boss says to go and murder someone...
To be clear, I am fine with the idea that whoever made the decision and all the people they gave orders to are liable. I'm not keen on the idea that whoever made the decision didn't go
liable
to prison and the people who followed the orders did.
Well, it's like the Enron thing, right? Like a bunch of the senior folks at Enron didn't get any prison time.
This is exactly my point.
And a lot of the people on the ground did, right? I agree with you on that.
The reason I think one thing that did come out of that in later things, though, is that the concept of C-level execs having willful ignorance is now punishable with jail time. So you are starting to see some of that change.
That's curious how this will pan out. I mean, imagine a world in which at some point in 2018, they say, okay, big tech companies are doing too much mining of people's data and that's now illegal, right? And then a company keeps doing it anyway and then their JavaScript programmers end up in prison for abetting that and the person who made the decision didn't. That seems the sort of thing that might happen, or it seems relevant to our industry as well. Stuff where you're currently cheating the laws and then you get caught. And I'm not sure I like the precedent from this. But as Jeremy says, maybe the pendulum is swinging the other direction. But that's why I thought it was interesting, because it feels like the sort of hole that the tech industry might fall down, you know?
You know what? This is completely, there's no evidence behind this statement at all, but it wouldn't surprise me if when you see these kinds of situations happen where people bend the rules, that it's not necessarily always just the senior executives who are asking people to do that. And it's not the people on the ground. It's the middle managers. Yeah. It's the people who are in service of their bosses. And they make stupid decisions that makes the bosses look like they're corrupt, and it makes the and puts the employer the employees in a difficult position.
Yeah, oh, I could wouldn't I surprise could me that, if absolutely. That's, yeah, that sounds perfectly right. plausible to me. Next news item.
This has been very heavyweight, so I'm going to go with something a little bit lighter. Okay, so I love this. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with this, the state of Oregon has a law that basically disallows you from pumping your own petrol into your car, gas for our American friends. A recent House bill passed Bill 2482, which means that counties in Oregon that have got fewer than 40,000 people, so, you know, obviously pretty rural places, can now pump their own petrol. And what's been quite amusing to this, so I read this news story that basically where a lot of Oregonians who have never done this before are a bit weirded out by doing so. One example is a guy called Mike who posted on what looks like a Facebook post.
Yeah.
Said, I've lived in the state all of my life and I refuse to pump my own gas. I had to do it once in California while visiting my brother and almost died doing it. This is a service only qualified people should perform. I will literally park at the pump and wait until someone pumps my gas. I can't even. It's fascinating to me.
Obviously, some of these responses are, I had not seen this. It's interesting. A little insight into it.
I've seen this, but I mean, obviously, the responses are cherry picked. There are probably 100,000 responses on this Facebook post, right?
And they cherry picked
the individual amusing ones. But I was surprised by the level of horror and hatred for the idea that you have to get out of the car and poke the nozzle into the side of it yourself.
Yeah. And it's easy, frankly, for us to mock and say, well, this is ridiculous, a bunch of these, you know, Muppets in Oregon. But frankly, if you've never done it before, I can understand anything that's new. But what gets to me is surely you've been out of the state where you have to pump your gas.
That one time when he filled up his gas tank on the way to his brother's, he made that clear. Mike was very clear.
And nearly died doing it. I don't know how he nearly died.
So the thing I don't get about the shock and horror is it says means that the counties with 40,000 people or less can now pump their own petrol. Doesn't this presumably mean that one gas station can say, we hear you, Oregonians, and we're going to keep employing people to pump your gas, and another gas station
I'm
can say,
that now,
we don't want to do that?
I'm assuming that it's not banned that other people can pump it.
It's now
a value-added service.
I would say it is. I mean, presumably all the ones who want to now not employ a person just to do this will save money on wages. And then the one station who goes, no, we're going to cater to people who want this, will get the trade from all the people who are horrified by the idea of getting out of their tank.
Maybe this is a New York thing. We have a very small number of, we call them full-service gas stations, where someone will pump your gas. And 99% of them are self-service gas stations where you pump your own and make a choice.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never go to one, but something 5 cents more a gallon or whatever it is. And you make your choice.
There's only been one time I've ever experienced this. I was hired a van when we were doing CLS one time and I had to go and get it filled up, and having somebody pump the gas to me was just, it was weird. It was like this odd, it just felt odd to me. I felt like I was in this awkward position of power.
Yeah, wow.
To me, like, this is something, it's the same reason why I will never ever have anyone shine my shoes. The idea of sitting on one of those ridiculous high benches and having someone shine your shoes, it just makes me feel dirty. It's an awful concept to me.
But drive-thrus are okay. I don't think anyone's. I don't think I've had anyone fill up my car for, I'm not kidding, 20 years. I don't think there are any full-service petrol stations here in the UK.
I mean, there's very few of them, and they tend to not be the change. Like, they're not Sunoco or Mobil's. They tend to be the corner gas stations that are holdovers. Yeah. But,
if people want options,
it seems fair.
Presumably, most people will go self-service, and then a couple of stations will go, no, we're going to keep it. And everyone who's commented on this Facebook post going, oh, my God, the horror, the shock, I can't bear it any longer, will go there, and they'll make loads of money, right? Free market.
That's what I would have thought.
One of the comments here from Kathy was, no, disabled seniors, people with young children in the car need help. Not to mention getting out of your car with transients around and not feeling safe too. It's a very bad idea. It's like, it's really not that bad. Like, I've filled my car up many times with Jack in the back and it's okay. I've never been attacked by a homeless person while filling the car up. So, anyway.
I'd score.
That's... Yeah.
Give us something else, Langridge. Do you have anything new?
Well, one thing where I'm interested in your views on it, really. Amazon have got a patent on the idea of you watch a video ad for something, and as you watch it longer, the price of the thing drops. Right.
So this is very similar to thing. Like, Amazon already kind of does this with the Kindle. If you get one that shows ads, you get it for cheaper. Google already does stuff like this with, if you fill out the survey, you'll get things cheaper. So
yeah,
totally. This seems like a natural progression.
There are two aspects to where I'm asking the question. The first one is the idea of watching a video and then watching the price tick down as you do it. It seems sort of semi-logical, and I can see other people have done things like it. I don't remember.
But people are, just so we're clear here, to the people buying these ads, people are watching the ticker tick down, not your ad.
You know how every now and again you get ads where you've got to type in a word from the ad or something to proceed. Yeah. As far as I can tell, no one actually watches the ad and then takes in what the ad's about. And you've got people sitting there in ad tech headquarters going, but they'll have to watch the ad in order to understand what the word is. And then it prints up at the bottom, type the word. So you type the word. But the second thing is, Amazon have patented this. Now, their one-click patent expired last year. But I don't think anyone thought it was a good idea that no one else could do that for years and years and years. And this feels sort of the same, right? If it turns out to be a big thing, only Amazon can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole is it obvious thing is clearly not a bar that exists anymore. So I think we all agree that the patent system is massively broken, but I...
Jeremy, that's not true. It works brilliant. Yeah. You know, the patent system, our current government, everything's going great.
Unfortunately for you, I've got a patent on the idea that people have said things work brilliantly, so now you have to pay $100,000. But yeah, I'm interested in people's thoughts on it. I mean, I can absolutely see myself, like, playing games, right? Where, you know, you watch an ad for an extra 3 gems. I don't think anyone watches the ad.
No.
You know, you press the button and they go away for 30 seconds. They've now got a new Wii's on iPhone apps, which I haven't seen. Apparently it's an Android thing as well now, where instead of being a video that you have to watch, which you can ignore, it makes you play it's a little interactive thing. A little interactive ad. So you get a thing for a game and you've got to play a tiny little bit of it. And it's supposed to make you think, wow, what a cool game this is. I must install it. But actually, as far as I can tell, what it means is that you don't just press play and then ignore the ad.
Right.
It's infuriating.
There's no way I'm ever going to play it. No. Your service will not be populated by me if you do
that. Well, it's annoyed the hell out of me in the 2 weeks I've been experiencing it.
Speaking of ads, very quickly, did you know that eHarmony had an ad banned, the dating site had an ad banned recently because they claimed that their dating service was, quote, scientifically proven? And the Advertising Standards Authority, in a very well-written statement, basically said, bot.
No, it isn't.
Okay.
That's interesting. Because, I mean, the ASA here are really strict about that sort of thing. We've got alarmingly strict advertising laws.
The eHarmony could not provide the ASA with any evidence that customers had a greater chance of finding love, despite claiming that scientifically proven matching system decodes the mystery of compatibility and chemistry.
Oh, boy.
What a load of bullshit. So, last item of news, I think, and it's a nice one from Jeremy. Tell us some good news about Linux Journal.
Well, I had two actually in there. One, and maybe no one else of you, at least the two of you may not care about this, but it goes back to Amazon. Did you see that they released the second version of Amazon Linux, and it's now available outside the Amazon cloud and on-prem?
Yeah.
Which is a big, big change for them.
This is what I think Microsoft are going to do.
Oh, okay.
So assuming we do the segments in that order. Sorry, Jono.
and now we are.
I think the new segment will be. Will be first.
They wait in anticipation for that. Sorry, I forgot that.
Whoops.
Nicely done. So the other one was that Linux Journal had announced that they were going to cease publication completely. I know we are all very sad. I've written for them. Yes. Jono's written for them. I believe Aki, you've written for them as well. Was a subscriber for a while back in the day. And at the, I guess, 13th hour, because they had already announced that they were shutting down, Private Internet Access has agreed to fund them for the, it sounds like, foreseeable future. I think some of the details are still coming out. Interesting here in that Private Internet Access has now funded a couple of open source related and Linux related items. So it's...
As far as I can tell, they're kind of the leading, we're quite open sourcey VPN provider, right? If you say who don't need a VPN provider, a lot of people will say go to PIA. They seem to do so. Are they just doing really, really well? And so they've got money and want to give back or pay it forward.
I am genuinely curious. I don't know. I mean, a lot of people don't like them because they're US based and you shouldn't use a US based provider if you care about privacy, you know, or any Five Eyes, I guess. And some people really like them because they have gone to court before and under, you know, on subpoena under oath have proved that they don't log at all. So that they are battle tested in that regard. So you hear a wide variety of things about them. I subscribe to a couple different VPN providers. They are one of them, you know, full disclosure, I guess, there. But as far as their motivations, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know who's actually behind the company because it's a trust. So I don't know if they're just making a bunch of money and are really interested in this or...
And I'm guessing as well, when they say Linux Journal was rescued, I bet that didn't cost a tremendous amount of money to help keep Linux Journal. I don't know whether that means that they're going to have like a full-time editor or anything like that, but...
It costs a bit. If you look at when the Linux Voice team, when Linux Format became Linux Voice, they funded it. They did crowdfunding and funded it for a while on that basis. And they eventually had to wind it up again because it still wasn't doing quite well enough.
And but they raised a fair amount of money, right?
Hmm?
Didn't they raise a fair amount of money?
I'm not sure. How much they made.
I want to say that it was like 50 or 100 grand. I can't remember
But I mean, 50 grand doesn't seem like a big deal for someone like PIA, assuming they've got a bunch of money, to say we're going to fund Linux Journal. We're going to drop 50,000 on it. I mean, it's a big thing. Don't get me wrong. But we've had £5,000 or £6,000 off of people for sponsoring an evening event, which was an evening, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And people will still have to buy Linux Journal, right? It's...
I would like them to see them go back to print. That's one thing I really missed from them is when they went digital only.
It's interesting. Like, I don't know about you guys, but when I was first getting interested in Linux, at least living in the UK, this is obviously before like Linux Format and things and Linux user and developer and stuff like that. The only magazine was Linux Journal. And, we had to have it imported into the UK and it cost a bloody fortune. Because you had to buy it from the US. There was basically no providers in the UK, what's the word I'm looking for? Distributors in the UK. So getting a copy of Linux Journal in the mail was incredibly special. I remember taking it to Linux user group meetings and other people would like look at it. Almost like handing vinyl around because it was like something about Linux printed on paper was itself somewhat quite cool. So like for me, the romanticism of Linux Journal is really cool and it's such a formative role in I think all three of us. Mm-hmm. But times have changed. I don't know, depending on what their goals are, I don't think a print magazine is going to succeed.
I don't think so, because it didn't with Linux Voice, which I was sad about. I mean, I was a digital subscriber. Yeah, really. I was a digital subscriber to Linux Voice, because the artifact is nice, but it would have just gone on a shelf. Whereas if it's digital, I'll actually read it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, you know, and the people who run these kinds of magazines, Linux Journal and Linux Voice included, are really good people who work hard and they're genuinely it for the right reasons. And it's like, so it's nice, really nice to see.
It's a labor of love. And I think it's great of Private Internet Access to be supporting this kind of thing. I can't see any way in which this could be some kind of mendacious bad thing to do. It just seems like a good thing to do. Well done.
No, I agree. So good work, Private Internet Access. We support you and we approve of this. So go and check out their service and you will indirectly support Linux Journal.
Yes.
All right. I think we're done with the news.
We're done.
Right? Let's do some predictions.
So predictions. Yes.
Ooh.
In the last show, we covered ourselves with glory, or perhaps not glory, but
we did well. We did very well
by predicting things last year, none of which came true. Now, since we literally can't do worse than that,
no.
We thought this year we'd try again a bit harder. So, as usual, the rules are you have to pick something which we can at least tell at the end of the year whether it's happened or not, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The goal is not to spend the whole of the show a year from now arguing about whether the thing happened and then pathetically grovelling for a tenth of a point, Jonathan Bacon.
Listeners who have heard us do this since the beginning of Bad Voltage would argue that that is precisely
how very descriptive rather than prescriptive of you.
Just ambiguous enough.
So should we alternate predictions, do we think? Do one each?
So whatever you like. What do you want to do?
Okay, I say we lump them all together. Well, that's what we've done traditionally, okay. Right?
I'm a fan of lumping, personally.
Okay, yeah. So who's going first? So,
I'll go first.
Okay.
Sure, I'll go first.
John O'Bacon, begin.
We might as well start with glory, okay? So the last few years I've had predictions about Facebook and VR. Mm. And I believe that this is going to be the year of the Linux desktop for Facebook VR. Okay. Facebook VR. Now, it should be noted, okay, I got slammed in the previous show about my prediction not coming true. It did come true.
Did not.
Facebook Spaces beta is available. It's launched. It was launched last year, okay? So my prediction was actually correct, okay? Facebook did launch their VR thing in 2017. However, my prediction for this year is that they will actually launch the full. They'll come out of beta, and it will be the full production product will be launched in 2018 on Facebook Spaces.
Given the fact they're already in beta, I grant you that we saw this. It turns out one of mine was correct as well, but ignore that. In beta, your prediction is therefore they will not abandon a product already in beta. Can't you come up with something like, you know, people are going to like it or something?
No.
Or like because, 1 billion people will log in or something.
Yeah, something. It must be because, I mean, I grant you, they are already in beta. That's fine. The idea that they then just walk away from this product seems a bit iffy. So I think it's quite likely they will launch given that
this is very much from last year. Your I have a Pixel, Google will release a Pixel 2 prediction.
Yeah. I think you ought to be saying that it will be successful, not just it'll happen.
No, because I don't think it will be successful.
That's a prediction in itself. That's fine. Facebook will launch out of beta.
And I think I speak for all of us, and we say we all hope it's unsuccessful and doesn't happen because it's terrible idea.
This is the difference between you and I, you poisonous little dwarf, okay? I don't want them to fail. Okay?
I want nearly everyone and everything to succeed. I would like this to fail miserably.
So I think they will come out of beta, and I think broadly it will be a failure.
Okay, right.
I appreciate that ambiguity is my middle name.
Sure, I think all those things will happen.
Okay, so I've got a prediction, which is this time next year I'll go, for God's sake, this was such a woolly prediction, but okay, we'll go with that to start with.
Guys, you're just such a bunch of haters. Okay, next one. Should we move on to the
next one? We hate Facebook VR because it's rubbish.
Yes.
It's rubbish in concept and in implementation.
Hang on. It's rubbish. Have you tried it?
People who like it are rubbish.
Have you tried it?
People who live near the people who like it are rubbish. Stop wanting it. You know that thing where Kaiser Soze kills people who owe his enemies money, right? I feel like that about Facebook VR.
Why? I want to understand this. Why do you hate it so much?
What?
What is it about VR that you don't like so much?
What's the point of it? It's like 3D movies in cinemas. There's no actual benefit to it. Occasionally someone swings a chainsaw which comes slightly towards you. The only benefit is that it gives them something else to push and charge you an extra £4 for.
Have you spent much time in VR?
A little bit. Not a lot.
Have you spent any time in VR?
Yeah.
Tell me how much time you've spent in VR.
I don't know. Probably a couple of hours in total.
Okay. So I would argue that VR is interesting in the fact that there is a different experience in VR than there is outside of VR. I think there is a benefit to it. Now, I think it's massively overblown in many areas. I think it's impractical because of the headset and all this kind of stuff.
It's not just the headset. The thing that I did it in, it was not just, it was semi-realistic. It wasn't totally realistic, but I can see the point of it. But it wasn't just that you had a headset on. You had four big posts in the corners of the room so it could detect where you were, and no one could be anywhere around you. And there was a guy who had to follow you about and lift the cable around so that you wouldn't trip over it. And
that's all going away.
Even
that's all going away. This is the early stages of VR.
This is why I say the implementation is rubbish. Ignore whether I think the idea is rubbish, which it is. I think it's just a way of shilling extra stuff to us. But the implementation is also rubbish. Maybe the implementation will get good if we sit there and just suck up rubbishness for another 5 years. But I think what's happened, the same thing's happened every time anyone's done what they called great VR, which happens about every 5 or 6 years. It tries to happen, then everyone goes, but this is stupid, and it dies for 5 years.
I think VR is a good technology that can be, has got some valuable applications, but I think Facebook Spaces is going to be rubbish. Anyway, let's move on.
You asked why I didn't like it. This is why.
You're wrong. next one. So Red Hat been doing quite well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in 2018, they're going to post their first $1 billion revenue quarter. So the estimation is that Jim Whitehurst has been making some noises about them hitting $3 billion in 2018. I actually think they're going to hit a $1 billion. I think they're going to hit a $1 billion quarter. I think they're going to have an especially good quarter.
It's going to be really, really... This one's going to be close, right?
I think it is, yeah.
Their guidance, I think, was like 291 for 18.
Yeah, it was...
The last quarter, I think they hit just under 760 million.
Yeah.
So this seems...
reasonably ambitious.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, God's honest truth, before I went away and looked this up, I thought, if you'd have said to me, what did they make? I'd have said, aren't they a $5 billion company now? At which point they're making $1 billion every quarter, but they aren't, not yet.
No.
So for this, they not only have to overperform 2017, they have to overperform one individual quarter even more than that.
Yeah.
If they just trend upwards as we're expecting them to, they'll do $400-800 million quarters and no billion, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Why are you expecting one big quarter? Just luck or what?
I just think that from what I understand, they're basically trending towards $5 billion.
Yeah.
And I think that from some of the reporting that I've read, I think they're doing especially well. And I just think that I originally went with that they'll hit the $3 billion in 2018. And then I thought that's kind of lowballing it a little bit. So I need to make it a little bit more ambitious. So that's why I've gone for the billion and a quarter. But we'll see what happens.
You don't think this is going to be tied to a particularly compelling new product release or anything? You just think that the wavy line of how much they make every time might blip up for a whole quarter.
I mean, not really. Honestly, I don't know enough about their business to really, right, okay. I mean, to get a sense of that. The one thing I'm seeing more and more of is OpenShift, like OpenShift in with clients that I'm working with in conversation cropping up. But I don't know enough about their business. I just think that they're generally heading in the right direction. And you both know the man crush that I've got on Jim Whitehurst. I think he's brilliant. So
are you seeing lots
to
of
be
OpenShift
fair,
because
he
it's
is,
really good? I mean, I see. I use OpenShift because it's free, basically.
Yeah, I've just seen OpenShift popping up more and more as a technology that people are interested in and that they're using.
Oh, so nice. I mean,
it's one of the more popular Kubernetes distributions, certainly, from a supported paid perspective.
So, yeah. All right. Well, I was expecting the expected level of pushback, and I didn't. I'm presuming I'm going to get it in the next one.
Opposite of the last one, that is very, very much one I would like to see happen.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so my third prediction is that Google, for a while now, they've been working on their next generation operating system called Fuchsia, which doesn't use Linux. I forget the name of their kernel. What's it called again? Do you remember?
Fuchsia's the kernel, isn't it?
No, Fuchsia's the OS. They've got special things. I can forget what it's called as the kernel.
But yeah, it's been going on in the background quietly and you get leaks about it.
Now, there's been some, you know,
I think Magento was the kernel, wasn't it?
That's it.
Might be. So it's all shades of pink.
Yeah. Oh, good point. 50 Shades of Pink. So
the best thing about that, we've got the Google Doc open, right, with our show notes in it. And the word fuchsia is in there. And everybody's curse is on the word fuchsia, presumably because Jono spelt it wrong. Jeremy corrected it wrongly, and I've just corrected it again.
I did not correct it, but I just noticed like you are
correct. It's Fuchs, like the German name, F-U-C-H-S, with I-A on the end.
It's what like the German name?
Fuchs. Perfectly cromulent German name.
Well, listeners have heard stories of Axe's incredible German adventures.
Gosh. So, I am literally never going to live that damn story down, am I?
Also, as a side note, you mentioned the fuchsia, the pink thing. So Erica, my wife, she loves British comedy, right? So one of her favorite shows is Fawlty Towers, and I'm of course very proud of this. A show that she really loves and has got into is this TV show that was on in the 90s called Keeping Up Appearances.
Really?
Which was about this
Hyacinth Bouquet.
Yeah, with this posh woman called Hyacinth Bouquet, and you know, and all the rest of it, and she's got a bunch of, you know, chavs as family members and whatever else. It wasn't until a couple of weeks ago I realized that All the Hyacinth and her sisters are all named after flowers.
All named after flowers, yeah.
Yeah, God, I'm stupid. Anyway, so meanwhile, back at the point, Google. So fuchsia, a few weeks ago, I think it was, Google made an image available for the Chromebooks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think it was a few weeks ago. I don't think it was that long ago. I thought it was a few days ago only.
It might be, yeah. It was very recent.
Maybe I just missed it, but yeah, it's recent, certainly.
So this has been kind of knocking around for a while. They've been building this relatively transparently. They've been talking about it.
No, they haven't.
No, what I mean is...
Occasionally leaking the fact that it exists to Ars Technica is not transparent development.
Well, it's on GitHub. I'm not saying
it's on GitHub, yeah. I mean, I would argue the fact that they've... I would say that for a company building their next-gen operating system like Google, they've been fairly open.
Okay, I'll give you
They've
that.
A GitHub repo, and they keep talking about the providing developer images for people.
Okay, so, no, that's reasonable. I may have overstated that slightly. I apologise. Carry on.
It's weird you don't do that.
I do when I'm wrong. It just doesn't happen that often.
I think that in 2018... Google are going to kick off a formal early access developer platform for people building apps. So their Flutter is their developer platform that is going to be in Fuchsia, which is actually really focused on cross-platform. So you build a Flutter app and it'll work on iOS and it'll work on Fuchsia. And I think that right now everything's kind of like just nothing's particularly formal about this. I think they're going to have the equivalent of a developer.fuchsia.com type thing with API docs, and I think they're going to be encouraging people to start writing apps. Now, this, I think, is quite ambitious because, from what I understand, this has only been really in development for the last couple of years, and Google have already got a pretty big ecosystem with Android. So I'm not suggesting this. They're going to throw their... I don't think they're going to throw both their feet into this, but I think they're going to start...
I would like to clarify this a little, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Because Flutter, as you say, is cross-platform stuff. So encouraging people to write Flutter apps now and saying, yeah, right, use Flutter as a great developer environment language, you know, system, and build iOS apps and Android apps. And then when eventually we bring out Fuchsia, you can just flip a switch and get a Fuchsia app, to me, does not really count as encouraging people to develop for Fuchsia. It's encouraging people to develop with Flutter. If Apple encouraged those people to build stuff with Swift for iOS, right? And then they brought out a new thing that we hadn't heard of, the J phone, and said, look, Swift apps also run on the J phone. At no point would building Swift stuff be encouraging people to write for the J phone. All so right, well, is this me, about that, Flutter or is it about Fuchsia?
I was going to say, the fact that Google has officially, on a Google site, released how to install Fuchsia on a Pixelbook and a Chromebook. This is just a... What is going to happen more than a prediction.
Providing an image that people can install on a device is not a developer program.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay.
Sure. It's not a full developer program, but it's pretty good hints that one is in the future.
So what?
Exactly. Which is my prediction. So I think, Ak, you're right. I think this is really, in many ways, more about Flutter. Right. But my view is this. I think Google are clearly edging towards Fuchsia is going to be their standard operating system that they're going to use. I think it will ultimately replace Android. And I think that what they're going to start doing in 2018 is they're going to make a significant shift towards Flutter as the means in which you build applications. But the reason why they're going to do that is because ultimately it's got a dotted line pointed to Fuchsia.
So do you think they'll release one Fuchsia device?
That was actually my original prediction, but I don't think they will. I think it's too early.
Okay.
So I think they're going to start getting people building apps and getting familiar with the APIs, and then when they have Fuchsia ready, then they'll have an app ecosystem in place.
One of the things I don't understand, and I would like to hear from people who are more invested in the ecosystem than I am, is how Kotlin relates to Fuchsia.
Yeah,
you know, they're sort of encouraging people to do Kotlin stuff instead of Java for Android. Mm-hmm. But then is the idea that you'll be able to go, just punch a button and get a Fuchsia app? Are they gonna, I mean, if the Fuchsia stuff is all brand new, then they're throwing away having 70% of the market, which is moronic. But if it's not and it just provides the Android APIs, then it's Sailfish, which is also pointless. So I don't really get where they're going
to
go with this.
So, I mean, this is not a prediction, just a guess based on where they seem to be going. But this is not going to replace Android for any meaningful word of the word replace. They're not right. going to one day start shipping these devices and kill Android. There's too many Android devices out there. This will someday be version X of Android if that happens.
Right. So you think this is largely a project to make the Linux kernel go away out of Android? This is why I'm asking the question. I don't really understand how all this fits together. I'd like someone to make some predictions about it so we can see if they're right or not.
I actually think that they do want to replace Android with it, but I think it's going to take 10 years for them to do that. And I think what will happen is it will just become the more desirable OS that's available. I think it'll be faster, it'll be more efficient, it'll be more secure.
But you think they'll go ahead with an entirely different brand and at the same time have Google Android phones and Google, if they stick with Fuchsia or whatever they go with, phones?
I think what'll happen, and this is not a predict, obviously this is not going to happen in 2018. I think what's going to happen is that the acquisition of HTC Mobile, ultimately those devices will run Fuchsia. I think that they will have Android as the OS that ultimately, you know, other manufacturers might use, but I think that they will position Fuchsia as the...
Really?
They want to go full-blown Apple, you think?
Yeah.
I think they're going to go full-blown Apple.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, definitely. I'll tell you what, right? This doesn't have to happen in 2018, and you were clear it's not a prediction, but if that actually does happen, I will reach back in time to this show and give you credit for that, because I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. You didn't think Facebook VR was going to happen in 2017. And bada-bang, bada-boom. Okay. All right. We're taking a while to get through these, so I'm going to go on to the final one really quickly. This is really my bonus one.
Yep.
I think they're going to announce that Sony are going to announce the PlayStation 5 this year. I don't think they're going to ship it. I think... ambitiously, they may try to ship a PlayStation 5 at Christmas, but I think that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, they won't ship.
They'll be lucky to hit 2019 Christmas.
I think they will, but I think they will definitely have a PlayStation 5 available to buy 2019 Christmas.
What's an announcement? It's an announcement saying, this is what it's going to look like, this is what the hardware in it's going to be. Or if some Sony bloke in a pub goes, well, yeah, we're probably going to do a fifth PlayStation at some point. That doesn't count, right?
It won't be. We might be working on. It will be. We are. It will be. There is a web page on a Sony website that confirms that a PlayStation 5 is going to happen. It is announced, and I would like to think that they will actually have a target date for this. Mm. The reason why I think they're going to do this is because Microsoft with Xbox, their Scorpio Xbox, is going to be eating their lunch. Microsoft have essentially, there's usually a 6-year cadence on PlayStations and on these generations of consoles. Microsoft completely threw that apart and brought their new Xbox forward.
Yep.
And I think Sony right now are going to be scrambling to get a PS5 out there. That's why I think they'll announce in 2018 a concrete announcement. And I think they'll try to ship it early 2019, but I think that's unlikely. But that's not part of my prediction. My prediction is not when it will ship, just that it will be
next. I don't even care about the PS4. If they go on to the next generation, just whatever, man. Just console, yep. The whole new console generations thing is infuriating.
All right, come on then, Munch. What are your predictions?
Oh, it's my go, is it? Okay, right. So,
smooth segue there.
Since we're talking about VR stuff and it not succeeding, I think at least two major firms. So, your Amazon's, Apple, Google, Microsoft, you know, household name firms will release onto the market actual augmented reality glasses. The sort of thing that Google Glass was trying to be, that the Magic Leap people are doing. Right, but Magic
what
Leap,
about Magic Leap?
Magic Leap.
They've announced those.
They don't count. They're not a big deal.
They're too small.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's saying that's not a household name.
Yeah, this is my point. It's okay. Got to be real people releasing real products, right? Some little firm doing it and then becoming big because of it. Like the Snapchat glasses don't count either, right? Because they were bollocks. But a real proper, you know, essentially what Google Glass was trying to do.
You don't think Snapchat is a household name?
I do, but it wasn't this kind of big push as a product. Well, they may have wanted it to be, but it died in its arse. Only about four people bought it.
So you think we'll see two mainstream releases by different companies
by the end of 2018? Flat. I do.
This is not going to be part of your prediction. But do you have a sense of have a guess? This won't be part of your prediction, but have a guess who you think.
If I had to guess, I would say Amazon and Apple. I don't think Google will do, because I think Google will burn so badly by the glass hole thing that they'll stay away from it for a bit. I don't think they're eager to fall down the same manhole they did already. And I'm not sure Microsoft have got enough stuff behind it for it to plug into.
It seems pretty far outside of what Amazon does organizationally.
Hang on. Microsoft have got the HoloLens.
Yeah, but you can't use them as augmented reality glasses because you can't just wander around the universe with it.
Oh, so you're saying it was not a headset. These are
glasses you can just put on like sunglasses and walk around and it'll tag shops as you walk past them. And
I think middle-tier companies might. I don't think it will be Amazon because it's not what they do organizationally. I don't think it's Apple because Apple never does anything first or second. They wait to release the more refined version of that thing, and they would want it to be super fashionable. So Apple's out, Amazon's out. I agree with you, Google's out. Maybe Microsoft, maybe. I could see some smaller companies doing it. Of the ones you named,
I think there's a greater problem here in that glasses are a fundamentally fashionable thing for people, and with a watch you can change the strap, right? So Apple have got the iWatch, and then you can change the strap and make it look however you want it to look. Fitbits, you can have the different bands. It's way more complicated to do that with glasses because it's not just going to be the lenses; it's going to be the frame.
Yeah, oh, totally. I think this whole idea will die on its ass. I think it will die on its ass in the same way that smartwatches have, right? That they were hyped up to be the next amazing thing, and actually, people bought them, but they didn't really take off, and they're tailing off now. And I think, whatever they end up being called, mixed reality glasses or smart glasses, whatever the hell name they get, I think they'll be the thing.
But you're ambitious.
I think the first company to do this at real scale and be successful is going to be some kind of industrial application where they actually are useful.
They've been in industrial stuff for years. People have been using them to work on aircraft and stuff like that with heads-up displays and so on for 20 years now.
Oh, right, yeah, and helmets and stuff like that. I mean, a true pair of just glasses that anyone could put on and off.
This is an ambitious $10 billion
Air Force helmet. I'm not counting that.
This is as cool as it is. Yeah, this is ambitious, I think, because I'm not sure the technology is actually there yet for it.
Yeah, a major firm. Anyway, all right. But that's not going to happen. Okay. So there'll be some bickering, I suspect, over whether it happens.
There will be.
this company is a subsidiary of Alphabet. Therefore, it's Google.
Alphabet's major.
All right. Next.
I think this is a pretty US specific prediction. But I think one of the major tech firms is going to go out and buy lock, stock and barrel, a major healthcare provider. As people get more into the whole health monitoring and stuff like that, what they want is to mine the shit out of people's data.
So what are you considering a healthcare provider in this context? An insurance company, a hospital?
My problem here is that because I don't properly understand the US healthcare system, it doesn't apply here, right? We've only got one major healthcare provider and it's not for sale. But
that's not true. Everything's for private healthcare in the UK.
Do you know, they're not major. And yes, the NHS is for sale, but we're not doing politics today. So,
really? Okay, so there's going to be no political predictions here. So, fair enough. Carry on.
So I'm not sure exactly what what organisations provide healthcare in the States, you know. So I don't know whether the things that own loads of hospitals or own loads of people's data or whatever, something like that. And I'm happy to be challenged when this comes about on the point that whatever I said wasn't the biggest thing. But
so you're saying, let me get this right. You're saying, I don't really understand the American healthcare system, but a major tech firm will buy a bit of it.
Yeah, essentially. Some kind of seriously large bit of it. Rather than trying to do partnerships or trying to get individual people to point their healthcare data at it by choice, they'll buy a large firm, essentially in order to mine it for health data.
You're going to have to be more specific.
Yeah, I think Google and Apple are already doing that to a large degree in multiple different contexts. So I'm happy to
have you sharpen up my prediction in whatever way you deem.
What about an insurance provider? Someone like
does that seem likely? Not like, I don't really.
No,
it seems astoundingly unlikely. I don't even think that will happen in Facebook VR.
If you wanted, if you were a big tech firm with billions of dollars and you wanted to buy some healthcare organization in order to mine it for people's data, is the one you'd buy a health an insurance firm?
I mean,
whichever the one you'd want to buy in order to mine it for data, that's the thing I'm going to predict.
But the question is, why do you want to mine it for data? Like,
maybe you're using the wrong word, but I think healthcare provider. At least in the U.S. definition of that, is an individual or organization who provides healthcare. So a doctor or a hospital or something of that nature.
Like Kaiser.
And those things aren't really for sale.
Right. They can't really this buy is what I said about me not properly understanding the market. You know, I mean, I don't know exactly. There's a bunch of, you know, you buy insurance off people or whatever, so they know everything about you, all your health records and so on. Yes.
They do, but HIPAA would prevent any a tech company from using that in a way that would be beneficial in this context.
This is the kind of thing that I'm getting at.
So that's why all the tech companies are approaching it from the angle of you give them data from your device, like a Fitbit or like an Apple Watch or any of those.
That's exactly
Google
the
Fit.
Thing that I think they'll try and get around. I think there'll be a bunch of pushback about this, and some of it will be that's not allowed. But I think we might now be in a climate where, you know, maybe they'll be able to do it anyway.
Interesting. Maybe what you're talking about here is that a major tech company are more likely to buy someone like a Fitbit or a 23andMe.
The point here is not buying a thing where you've opted into it because you're really interested in health. They want to get health data on people who don't even know about their app. Let alone
you're really talking about an insurance provider or something.
You're talking about insurance providers or
something
hospitals.
Like that. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, I'm happy.
I think you should go ahead with this prediction.
Yeah.
There's not a cat's hell in chance this is going to happen.
That's fine. I'm good with that.
Brilliant. All right.
Yep.
Next.
Third prediction. I think Microsoft could release their own Linux distro.
I would be astounded if they didn't.
Haven't they already got a version of Linux for Azure?
I'm thinking about
you to virtualize other versions, distributions of Linux on the Hyper-V kernel. If they didn't have a native Linux Azure option,
I think they'll make a semi-big deal of it. This is you should be in the same way that Amazon did Alpine or whatever. You know, you should be using our one in this. Install that in the Windows subsystem for Linux, all that kind of thing. Oh, you can use one of the other ones. You know. Old-fashioned Linux.
I thought
distros.
I read about 6 months ago that Microsoft had produced their own Linux distro for Azure. I don't believe
they've done this. I mean, if they have, then I will obviously retract. But I don't believe they have. And I think they'll, you know, kind of with a brand, whether that brand is Microsoft Linux or what, I don't know. But
you think it will be when you say, because there is a difference in my mind between a Linux image that doesn't get any marketing behind it and a fully marketed product that is Linux based. Are you talking about the latter.
Yeah, well, I think they are, I think they, when you go to Azure and say, I want to run a Linux thing, and it says, which Linux do you want to run? Top of the list and in bold will be Microsoft Linux. When you install the Windows subsystem for Linux on your Windows laptop, it will say, which Linux do you want to install? And at the top of the list in bold will be Microsoft Linux. And Ubuntu or whatever will be somewhere subsidiary in the list.
So this is going to be server-based. It's not going to be a desktop.
No, I can see it being desktop as well. The Windows system for Linux stuff. Oh, yeah, I don't mean they're going to release a desktop operating system, which is Linux. That.
Right, yeah. But you could run Linux stuff.
I will be very surprised if this doesn't happen.
Ah, well, I've got a nice easy one, good.
I think this is going to happen. But I don't think it's going to be... I think it's going to be an image, and I don't think they're going to market it very well. I don't think there'll be any marketing.
I think it'll be marketed.
I think they will do. I think they will push it as you should be using this instead of.
I don't know that you'll be able to run it outside of Azure at all, but within Azure, I think it will get marketed.
I think they'll put it in WSL as well. It wouldn't surprise you if they make it downloadable for people who want to run it on hardware, but go, if that fails, we don't care, like the SteamOS people do, right?
I don't think they're going to market it, because I don't think they want that. I think they want Azure to be known as a place where you can run other OSs.
I think they want to be a
services organization in this regard.
Right.
And I think they're trying to get away from this view that Microsoft is this big monolithic,
That's precisely why I'm predicting this, because I think I'd like to believe that they believe that, but I don't actually. I think they'll be like, well, no, we want it to run our thing because then we can change it faster and so on and so forth. So that's why it's my prediction.
Good prediction.
Yep. Okay. Right. The final one.
What's your bonus one?
Bonus one, Twitter's going to ban Trump.
So we're not getting political.
They basically already said they're not going to do that. So
which is why it's a risky prediction.
Look at him.
You just wait till the end of the year, 2018.
It's not going to happen.
When we're all crawling out of the radioactive ashes of our former buildings and signing into Twitter, Trump will no longer be on it.
There is no way Twitter is going to ban the president from their service.
They've even explicitly said he's doing exactly what we want him to do. But nonetheless, there's my prediction.
Well, also, why would they ban him?
Because if I tried to incite nuclear war, I'd get banned.
Oh, shut up. Come on. He's not inciting nuclear war. He's a gobshite. This is the thing that drives me nuts about people who are... Look, I don't like Trump. I can't stand him. I think he's an idiot. But on one hand, you get people saying, he's such an idiot. He says such stupid shit. And then people say in the next breath, but look at what he said. Right? You're either one or the other, right? So he's full of shit, right? When he talks about the nuclear button, his nuclear button being bigger than the other guy, literally descended to mines bigger than yours.
Out of curiosity, what getting away from the political stuff, what reasoning do you think they will give for said ban?
Yeah, exactly.
On this, I'm not actually sure.
You just are assuming it's going to happen for
him. Yeah. Okay. I think they will eventually go, you know what? We don't want our thing to be like this. I don't know whether that's fine. You don't believe it's going to happen, which is the point of making a prediction.
This is a crushing level of naivety. I mean, it's like, anyway, carry on.
So you think the people standing outside the Twitter office yelling "Jack is complicit" are going to have the same mental impact that they had on LBJ, basically?
I believe Twitter are attempting to change their image, and doing this would basically fix it in one go.
No, it wouldn't.
No.
Yeah, it would fix their image. It might not fix the problem, but it would fix their image.
It wouldn't fix their image at all. If they ban the president, they basically piss off half of America.
Yeah, but they're the half of America who already hate everything. Already hate the changes that Twitter are making.
That's not that. I don't think that's either true or fair. I don't think that. I don't think.
I wasn't going to bring politics into this.
I don't think people who voted for Trump hate everything. I think a lot of people who voted for him were just upset at the status quo. The thing is, if Twitter banned him, like much as you might disagree with what he's saying, is he actually like the question is he breaking their terms and conditions? Is he like he's not. I would argue that much as I think a lot of his views are deplorable, I wouldn't argue that he is peddling hate speech on there. I think he's peddling a lot of views that are shit, and I disagree with, like, his views on immigration in particular. But I wouldn't say that he is inciting violence. Now, if Twitter did, if he did post something, let's say he posts something that is inciting violence. Let's say he says, you know, let's go out and punch people or whatever.
So retweeting Britain then, First doesn't count? Calling Native American women Pocahontas doesn't count? But anyway, ignore that and carry on with your point.
What I'm saying is, I think these...
He's not doing that.
I think that these are deplorable things for him to say. What I'm saying is, I don't know if he's necessarily breaking their terms and conditions by saying those things.
No, I don't think he is.
And I think that even if he did break their terms and conditions, they're not just going to ban him like they ban a Nazi on Twitter. What's going to happen is there's going to be a conversation between the CEO of Twitter and him. And for all, you know, people paint Trump as being an idiot. And I think that my view is that he's shit at what he does. But I don't think he's an idiot. And what he knows is that Twitter is a significant tool that he can use in his work. And I think if he knows that if there is even the slightest chance that he might get banned, I think he'd pull his socks up. There's no way he's going to let himself be banned. No way.
I completely don't agree with you on that last point. I think he'd go, no, you have to. You can't afford to do without me. But that's exactly my thing.
And that's the other thing I would say as well is Twitter, there's no way they're gonna let... That would be the biggest PR shitstorm for them. They're in a hard position because... clearly, they don't want him on there.
But you see, I don't think it's very likely, this one. This is why it's a bonus prediction, right? But I get tons and tons of kudos if it turns out to be truth, which is why it's on the list.
this would be one of those situations whereby, in my mind, if he incites hate and violence and all the rest of it, he should be banned, obviously. But if he gets banned because people disagree with what he's saying... I think that's terrible.
Yeah.
I don't think we should ban people because we disagree with them on either side.
Yeah.
So, anyway. All right.
All right.
All right.
Jeremy's go.
So, much in keeping with tradition, and I think we've had an electric car related prediction for every year we've done these, and they've had mixed results, I believe. I'm going to go ahead and continue that trend. So, I think that the Tesla Model 3, they're going to deliver... Despite them just making an announcement that they fell way short in Q4 and are going to fall short in Q1, keep in mind they've delivered a total of 1,500 cars last entire quarter. Yeah. I think they're going to deliver 100,000 Tesla Model 3s in 2018.
100,000?
Yeah.
In 2018?
Yeah.
And release date is when?
In between January 1st and December 31st.
No, the release date of the Model 3 is when?
It was in 2017.
Oh, it's already out?
Yeah.
I thought you could pre-order them, but I didn't get one yet.
1,550 rolled off the line in the entire Q4.
Oh, sorry, 1,500.
So they're making roughly 500 a month in Q4.
Okay. So you think this is like FDR saying... You think this is like FDR saying we're going to make 100,000 airplanes and no one believed it?
I think it's going to happen. I think they're going to fix all the problems they had ahead of their own schedule and 100,000 roll off the line.
Okay. What do you think, Jono?
I also would like this to happen, so trying to be positive here.
So they're going to have to significantly amp up their production, right, to accomplish that.
Yeah, and in a way that doesn't screw everything up.
Yeah.
Do they know how to make cars at scale at all?
The conference?
Just show up to Pasadena and then start screwing nuts into the wheels.
Given that they made 1,500 of them in the last quarter, I would say no, but they've produced more than... Tesla S's are coming off the line slow but regularly.
Okay. So they've produced 1,500 in the last quarter.
Yes.
And they had a significant number of people who'd ordered them, right? So they're probably maxing out the production.
300,000. I think they had 300,000 pre-orders.
In which case, I think you're out of your mind.
Although,
because there's no way. I mean, I read something today about a new factory that they're talking about opening up somewhere. I forget where it is. But it's going to take them time to spin that factory up, right?
Sure. So. I mean, they opened the Gigafactory in Las Vegas, and then Solar City, which they might start doing other batteries, is in Buffalo.
Oh, really?
Yep. The fact that they lowered their expectations yesterday does not instill a ton of confidence, but I am sticking with my prediction.
I admire bravery, Jeremy.
Okay, but that one's a nice.
But that's a very easy one to judge, if nothing else.
Yes,
that's true.
Okay,
that's
next. True.
So the positive one out of the way. Let's go slightly less positive. An IoT or cloud-related security incident will directly result in either significant human bodily harm or much worse.
So
the machines are going to hurt people.
Yeah.
Or a direct result of the incident.
But this is not someone gets their data leaked and commits suicide.
No, I will exclude that one.
So can you give us an example of the kind of thing you're thinking of here?
There are so many different chances for this to happen that it will be obviously extremely tragic when it does, but it seems almost inevitable.
You think this is going to be, for example, a device in a vehicle?
It could be something autonomous. It could be drone related. I mean, it could be infrastructure related, given how much of our infrastructure is now IoT or cloud based. But I think for all the horrific security incidents that are now happening, it turns out Matthew Garrett said it well. Security is basically a lie, given the incidents that I'm sure we'll talk about in the news segment.
I'm going to draw a distinction here, which may not actually exist. But there are two sort of different kinds of things. You've got one which is an explicit attack. Someone hacks into a factory and buggers up one of its machines so it welds a guy rather than a car.
Sure.
That would be one type of thing.
Right? It'd be kind of funny, though.
Or a heartless. Slow up. But then the second one is a more diffuse thing. Someone dumps a load of data out somewhere else. Not a specific attack on a specific thing, but something more general. I'm having difficulty thinking of a more general kind of thing, not something where it's an individual hacker trying to sod up one specific thing.
I was thinking more of the specific attack, but I think at one point we're probably going to see a bad code deploy end up killing someone.
The future is terrifying, Jeremy,
for a lot of reasons.
You say here it's a security incident, so you're saying that there will be a bad actor,
and
will breach security.
It's probably unlikely that the goal of the attack was to hurt someone. It will be an unfortunate ancillary side.
This is going to be someone DDoSes a back-end server, and then all the autonomous cars on the road, their cameras stop working, and they all drive off cliffs or something.
Sure, something. Right, I mean, not that specifically,
Okay, but it's the security incident triggers an outcome that results in the harm. It's not, to Axe's point, it's not that the security incident triggers something, someone gets depressed.
No. For this prediction, we will exclude any self-harm that results as a result
of suicide, self-harm, that kind of stuff.
The incident directly is the cause of that.
The incident actually hurts people in itself rather than causing other people to hurt people.
Correct. Yes.
That's an interesting one. I'm guessing this has already happened this year.
I did look. I couldn't find it. I was actually surprised. But like I said, it seems unfortunately inevitable.
My problem with this one is not that it's a problem. I just read it and I go, yeah, probably, and sort of shake my head sadly and then move on.
I think it is unfortunate and sad that we all think this is going to happen. So let's
move on. All right, next one.
Bitcoin, which recently hit almost $20,000, will end the year under $2,000.
Yeah, okay.
What's your thinking behind this one?
It's a bubble.
That it's a giant bubble made of calamity and hilarity. The fact that the Ripple founder is now like the 23rd richest person on the planet is, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know
He's
that.
The 23rd most richest person on Earth, not in Facebook VR.
Shut up.
I was talking to a guy. I was talking to a guy earlier.
Exactly.
Right? Who in 2011 spent 200 quid on bitcoins for a laugh because, seemed like, why not? Got a little bit of cash.
Who's laughing now?
Now, every time the price doubles, he sells one more bitcoin and then he's got like thousands of pounds.
It's nuts, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a bubble. Yeah. It's the bubbliest of bubbles.
That's one of the reasons why we haven't put any money in it, for sure.
Armandana.
Also, I don't understand it.
You're busy putting money into.
I think cryptocurrency and blockchain technology is awesome and has a bright future. I just think this specific wave of cryptocurrencies is frothy.
I think cryptocurrency technologies are interesting. All the stuff around Ethereum smart contracts and stuff like that seems cool. The blockchain, much as I hate to say the word, seems like it has a bunch of uses and so on.
Yeah.
But the actual thing about them being currency is now just starting to do.
Well, I like how everyone said they were the currency of the future and no fiat currency. And now as they're getting, they're kind of changing that to their great stores of value.
Yeah,
how a great store of value can change in price by an order of magnitude in a month. Who knows, but...
Yeah, because, you know, you get fiat currencies, and what happens is you get stupid inflation, you have to push wheelbarrows full of money down to the town to buy bread, and then you're like, okay, boots on the other foot now, Bitcoin morons, shut up.
What does worry me is, I know in the last 2 or 3 weeks since, you know, all the Bitcoin, price, the value going up has been all over the news.
Yeah.
I've met so many people who've been saying, I'm really thinking about putting a load of money into this.
No, like, now!
I had someone say in seriousness 2 or 3 days ago that they were thinking about cashing out their 401k to put
what?
In Bitcoin. Yeah, exactly. That's nuts. Please don't do that.
Their pension?
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah. People are maxing out credit cards.
That's nuts.
You're paying 22% interest on something that's going to go down...
That's
precipitously,
moronic.
I would think. That's why it's a bubble.
Much as the stock market has its problems, it's a bit more predictable than Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah.
I think as popular as it's getting, you're going to see regulation. I mean, the whole landscape's going to change in 2018, so it wouldn't surprise me if it ends under 1,000. But for the prediction, I'll keep it to 2,000.
All right.
But you think the bubble's going to burst?
Absolutely.
Just to clarify, this is not part of your prediction. Is it specifically the Bitcoin bubble that bursts, or is it cryptocurrencies in general bubble burst?
I think most of them will see a pretty significant...
Right. So it's not just going to be Bitcoin goes, but then Ripple is at $45,000.
No.
Monero. I should start that website miner. Right.
And then I didn't realize we were doing a bonus, so I made it up on the spot. So boom, it'll probably be the only one of all of them that is true. And it's I've been hearing a ton about AI... in the enterprise, and AI ops will replace DevOps and all this stuff recently. I'm going to predict that AI will not radically transform the enterprise in any way in 2018. Less measurable, but I think at the end of the year, you'll be able to clearly say, like, no, that didn't happen.
It's not just less measurable, it's completely immeasurable.
I think part of the issue is if we both said, no, that totally didn't happen, I think you'd be able to provide enough cases where maybe it did. I mean, I think I completely agree with you. It's not going to happen. It's all bloody hand-wavy bollocks.
People
reclassifying stuff that already existed as AI because it's cool.
Oh, totally. Yep.
Jeremy, don't you work for a company that's probably going to be using AI to transform the enterprise?
One thing I'm very proud of is that they don't do things like that. And do we use a ton of machine learning, and we use it very effectively? And
How is machine learning any different to AI?
Machine learning is a well-defined thing that is used in practice and has demonstrable, measurable output.
I would argue that AI is increasingly encompassed machine. I would say that machine learning is a component of the brand that is AI.
I would say AI is machine learning as handled by some kind of PR bloke like Max Clifford.
I agree with Ack on that one.
Well, there you have it.
Oh, Max Clifford, I haven't thought about him for a while.
No, I haven't either, but I don't know any famous PR people now.
Did he get embroiled in that whole yew tree thing?
I don't know. He did, didn't he?
He might have done. I don't know, and I'm not going to say so because that would be libelous.
I agree. He's a feckless human being. Yeah. Anyway.
So I'm curious what the community thinks, not only of our predictions, but what predictions they have of their own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Community.badvoltage.org. Let us know, and let us know whether you think we're going to be right or wrong. I think I know what you're going to say. Yeah, what your predictions are. There we have it. We have a show.
We do.
Always fun doing the predictions. Hope we do better.
God, please let us do better.
Well,
for
as
God's
Ag
sake.
Pointed out earlier, we cannot mathematically do worse, so hooray.
Well, the thing is, I'm quite happy with these predictions because I think they're a little bit more conservative than they usually are. There's some less crazy shit in there. Mm-hmm. That, like, all of them, I think, are doable.
Most of them, yeah.
Varying degrees of, you know.
Yeah. I mean, not the Facebook VR one, but other than that.
Well, and also I would argue that the,
or the healthcare one.
Well, we shall see.
Freaking madness. And we're all hoping that Trump gets banned from Twitter.
Yes, so yes, we are.
It will make life infinitely better for everybody. So, but yeah, probably not going to happen.
Someone will set up the vote equivalent of Twitter then.
Yes.
And it will have the same success that voters.
And much of the same population. So
yes indeed.
There was a competition, was there not?
There was.
Yes.
Tell us about the competition, yeah. Mr. Bacon.
Warren, who's one of the mods on the forum, very generously kicked off a competition, the Bad Voltage Photography competition. We had many fantastic entries. Our apologies that we haven't announced the winner yet because you know, with all the run-up to the Christmas and holidays and whatever else. But we want to announce the winner. There was a poll on the forum. Everyone voted. And the winner was Paul Galt. And your prize is, you're hearing a prize. Congratulations.
The hills are alive with the sound of Bad Voltage.
Yes, it was a picture of, quote, a hill from Jeremy.
We were hoping, but there's someone in the forum that posted to the poll whose username was Hilsey. I was hoping Hilsey posted the hill. But congratulations, nonetheless, Paul.
So, Jeremy, could you go and like the post of the winner? Because that could be your second ever.
I have already liked a post, I'd like to point out.
There you go. So you've about Jono being wrong. And one post about the Bad Voltage Photography competition. So that's a prize in itself, in my opinion.
Your prize is Jeremy liking something. It's a pretty low bar. He has a heart filled with blackness and hate. Anyway.
That just means glory for Toby 42.
Glory for what?
The member whose post that I liked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I knew what he was talking about.
I mean, Tobias, if you prefer his name. I was going with his username, but...
All right, so... moving on. Is there anything else we need to talk about before we wrap up?
Nope, we're done, I think. Welcome back to 2018, people, in which we've already had an earthquake. So next, the sky becomes as sackcloth and the moon becomes as blood, as I understand it. So...
Wow.
Yeah, and just make sure none of you use a computer this year.
Earthquakes over there. We got Bombo Genesis on the East Coast. The whole operation's just...
Yeah, it's not great, is it?
No. But, you know what? 100-mile-an-hour winds here in the UK and the NHS crisis. So 2018 starting really well, in my opinion.
But you know what? It's all going to work out fine. It's all going to work out completely fine. We'll have a good year. And if nothing else, we'll be along for the ride with you with Bad Voltage. Looking forward to a fun year.
Yes.
All right.
2018, once again, the year that Bad Voltage does not pod fade.
Indeed.
Fourth great year. Laters. Recording.
Recording. Recording.
Recording.
The correct mic is selected for each of you two.
I believe so.
Okay.
Didn't you fuck it up last?
You hope so.
Maybe. It's besides the point. One rule for me, different rule for other people. Let's not forget that.
Boom.